Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our State Representative Phil Thompson joining us once again. So thank you very much, sir, for coming on.
Thank you for having me again, Coltrane.
Kind of a big topic that came out of the House last week was legislation banning COVID-19 passports. Can you just first of all explain to us, Representative Thompson, the legislation behind this and the limitations with it?
Yeah, sure. You know, over the course of the pandemic, and then definitely in the last few months, we've heard a lot of concerns about the issuance of vaccine passports. So we just passed a bill to the House File 889, which will prohibit government at every level, local government and state government, from issuing COVID-19 vaccine passports or requiring the vaccination status of patrons to be disclosed by any government-issued identification. The bill really is tailored to business and patron relationships. It bans businesses and government entities from requiring a person to provide their COVID-19 vaccination status to enter facilities. It's not aimed to pertain to employer and employee relationships. And then some of the exemptions that you kind of alluded to were our healthcare facilities and nursing homes and places where we're protecting more vulnerable populations.
I know you mentioned governmental agencies. What about like schools and libraries, those kinds of things? Are those also impacted by this bill?
Yep, government buildings, all of that is definitely in the purview of this bill. So students can't be required to prove vaccination from COVID-19 to go to school. The real teeth of this bill is that, you know, if a business or entity violates this statute, then they're disqualified from receiving state grants or state contracts. If they're already involved in a state grant or contract and they do require the information, then that grant just won't be renewed.
And I know one piece of legislation that you really did take a look at serving on the House Education Committee was a component from the Senate Omnibus Bill involving education, specifically targeting charter schools and establishments of charter schools. Now it appears that that legislation has reached the governor's desk and awaiting her signature to become law. Can you just remind us where you stand on that particular piece of legislation, Representative Thompson?
Well, I did support that bill, and there are certainly pockets of the state that I think would be served well by charter schools. The real changes in that bill, it does make it easier to establish a charter school, and it kind of centralizes the application process with the Department of Education at the state level and doesn't require the local school districts to grant permission for the establishment of a charter school. But they do have to prove a need. They do have to prove that they're fulfilling a void, essentially, some kind of educational opportunity that probably isn't available. I think most of the areas in the state, you know, we really looked at the analytics of this and where this would make sense. Most of the areas of the state that would probably do this are more urban areas. And even Boone probably isn't big enough to really field a charter school. And Ames is a possibility. I think that'd be about the closest area that would probably make sense to establish a school like that. So I guess, you know, the eastern flank of House District 47 might be interested in entering that program if it's feasible for them, although it might be a kind of a hike. But no, I don't foresee really any kind of charter school popping up in House District 47, but I do support the educational choice aspect of it. And I think there are a lot of populations in the state that could be pretty well served with a charter school. So.
And final question for you relating to charter schools. Do you have any concerns with, you know, those public funds being taken away from the current public school systems? And I understand you say charter schools are public schools, but any concern about charter schools potentially taking away public funds from existing public schools in order to be created as a charter school?
I don't. I mean, again, these are public schools, they are public institutions. And really what does give me comfort is they do have to provide that need. They have to show that need. They have to show that they're really providing opportunities for these students that don't exist already for them. And I think there's enough of a threshold there and enough of a process there to really prove that they are fulfilling a need in a community. So, you know, I think it's only good for students. And again, you know, on all these education issues, you can look at what damage is this going to do to institutions, and really what we should be looking at is what damage is being done to students and how can we best give them, you know, opportunity and the education that individual students need and parents need. So I think this is a good bill. It's a good step in the right direction as far as giving parents and students more opportunity and more choices.
All right. Now, moving on here, Representative Thompson, I know there's probably a new law that you would really like to talk about concerning broadband internet access. It was signed by Governor Reynolds this past week, allocating funds for a tiered incentive program for providers to extend services to those who may not have or very little coverage when it comes to broadband. I know you worked very heavily with a representative just south of us in Guthrie County with Ray Sorensen. Can you just give us your initial thoughts after the governor signed that into law?
Yeah, so she signed that on Wednesday, and it was obviously a really fulfilling moment to you know, been a part of that legislation and a part of finding the money to appropriate the $100 million appropriation that both the House and the Senate have committed to for this year. It was just a really awesome, feel-good moment for all of us. And yeah, as you said, the House Republicans are kind of led by what we deem the broadband bros, and that's led by Representative Sorensen, that's just to the south of us, and then Representative Brian Losey and Dustin Height and I. And, you know, we worked really hard. Our big priority was to make sure that, you know, we weren't getting so focused on just increasing overall speed in the state, because, you know, we tend to be data driven and stuff. And obviously the easiest way to increase the overall speed is to focus on those urban areas. So we really wanted to make sure that we were opening up rural Iowa for these grants. And then also just making sure that we weren't getting solely focused on just laying fiber down, and also worried about speed of deployment and making this what we call technology agnostic and apply to 5G and satellite and other internet sources too. So we just wanted to make sure that our broadband deserts were addressed. You know, I've got a couple in way eastern Greene County, and then the northeast corner of House District 47 too, where there isn't any broadband, and really the terrain makes it impossible to lay fiber. So we just wanted to make sure that we made it technology agnostic and open it up to other internet providers too.
And as I understand it, Representative Thompson, this new law that was passed by Governor Reynolds really does address a lot of key issues with broadband internet access. But are there any other parts with this topic that you're looking to work on or are currently working on?
Yeah, so on one of your previous programs, I talked a little bit about a broadband forward and telecommuter forward certification that I think is pretty neat and probably pertains to Jefferson, which, you know, it's just kind of a bragging point for communities that do provide these internet speeds, that do provide, you know, shared spaces and stuff for telecommuting and workspaces, a lot of stuff that Jefferson does really well. And then also what we call a dig once policy. So on any state project, when we break ground, communicating with different entities, utilities, internet providers, and just and RECs and everybody, just to tell them, hey, we broke ground here. If you want to throw conduit down and kind of future proof around the community, now's a good opportunity for you to throw conduit down too. So those are a couple of things that we've got on the docket. Yeah, that's currently in the economic development budget, not in the Senate version, but in the House version that I run. So yeah, that's just one thing that, you know, we're just trying to get done this year yet. But definitely we're making a lot of breakthroughs on the broadband front this year, and just really happy to see that. So,
and that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Greene County program. Here with our state representative is Phil Thompson, joining us once again. Community State Bank of Payton is an independent, locally owned bank and business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.